getting yourself anchored and knowing how much he loves, how much he loves you and how much he loves that man in front of you. That's where your courage comes from, by the way. If you're wrestling with responding to an assignment and you're challenging yourself and you're thinking, I don't know what to do here. And I start talking myself out of it. That issue of courage, it's born in that revelation of how much he loves. Mm-hmm. So if you're wondering, what should I be working on, God? Go back to that revelation of how much he loves you. Right? Get your eyes off that man. Go back to that revelation. Wait a second. This is how much you told me you love. And continue to remind yourself. I heard that in worship this morning. Did you? Mm-hmm. As we reminded our spirit, this is who you are.
Right.
And I love that phrase in the one song she sang. And if you forget this, just look up.
Right.
And what do we see?
Right.
The banner of love that's sitting over you.
Come on,
that's he just loves you this much. And so where did I get my courage yesterday? From Darla. Because she heard the same thing. And I'm still wrestling in my head, well, what should I do with this? You know? I know I should respond. And then Darla says, I noticed that you said something about, you know, your ankle hurting. I thought, okay, it's on the table now, you know, and so he had a story, and he shared his story, life, and by the way, he was a vet who had a deep story, like lots of pain, PTSD, and pain in this part, body pain in that part, shoulder, and you're like, wow, this is more than just an ankle, and then he's dealing with VA benefits, and so now you've got provision. So this guy had layers and layers, and we're like, oh my gosh, okay. But you know what the fun part, when we said, there's so much that you just shared with us, it seems insurmountable. It seems too big. And we said, but we just want to pray because we believe God loves you so much, he just wants to bring breakthrough in these areas. And we said, can we pray? And you know, first thing he did, he stuck his hand out. It's like, yeah. And so we prayed, and we were asking about pain in his body, you know, how was he doing? And he, no great like testimonies, but just enjoying being loved, enjoying being known, acknowledged. And then Darla says, well, he starts talking about, oh, you know, one of my legs is longer than the other one. And I'm thinking, oh, we're not done here, you know. And now, but, so we just prayed. We're just like, oh, I could do this. And then he says, my one leg is longer than the other one. What's the very next thing I thought? Come on, we're in a business. There's people outside. And Darla says, and then we're both like, okay, how do we train? What should we do here? And she says, next time we're back. And then it's like, no, wait a second. There's a hard chair right there. And she says, would you be willing to come sit in this chair? And he didn't even skip 2 seconds. He went and sat in the chair. And because we said, we want to pray that God's going to lengthen your leg. And he immediately went like this. Like, okay, let's pray.
Let's do it.
And let's do this. I have no idea. His heart for the Lord. I don't have any idea about his background, but it's like, okay, I'm willing here. And so we prayed, and we were like, God, did you do it? Did you? Maybe I think, but we did. And again, he was just like, thanks. And he started talking. He talked to us about his daughter, and we thought, wow. We left, and in my head, we didn't talk about this. I thought that was easy. That was easy. It was easy to love somebody. And you're so, you know, I think what you're, I know I'll get to this here in a word in a second, but I think, you know what I think one of my challenges is? I think it's about me. Like, God, if you don't show up, I'm going to be embarrassed, or I'll be like, come on, I'm putting my name out there. I'm risking it here, and it's like it never was about me, you know. So I think I'm learning. I'm maturing a bit. So I wanted to. I want to transition just for a sec. I want to throw some questions at you because I had a guy with me this week, and we were talking about just life as a believer. And and part of it was probably politics. We're talking about, you know, Jerry would love this, you know, the condition of the nation. And then we're talking about culture on the base with people, engineers and stuff. And this person says to me, that's what we need to talk about right there. That's, there's, it's all born in sin. And I'm thinking, what did I say here that made you say that? And I told him, I said, okay. I guess there's probably, that's true, but how we define that and talk about that is significant here. And so I asked him, I said, can I ask you, you know, how do you define sin? And he had kind of maybe not a great answer, but you know what the first thing you do with when somebody says something like that? I think that we have lists. And if you're doing these things on this list, then you qualify as a sinner. Mm-hmm. And the thing about lists, by the way, if there's a sinner list, then there's got to be a believer Christian list. Has to be, mm-hmm. right? So there's got to be a list of things that you do that says you're that. Mm-hmm. And if you're and one of the things we all know, you're always going to leave something off the list, right? So then you go back and amend your list, right? And then we end up with things like the tax code, right? Which should have been simple, and now it's very complex because there's always amendments and things. Well, I didn't think about that. Or how about just the simplicity of, you know, bathrooms? How many bathrooms do we need? Guys, girls, or others? And now we've got somebody open the Pandora's box of gender, and now we've got, I don't know how many they say, right? So now, because somebody created a list and said, well, now there's this, and once you do that, well, then I have to make room for this, well, then I have to make room for this. So you see, lists don't work, right? Because there's always an exception to your list, and there's always something else you add to your list. And so when you think about this thing of, am I sinning, right? You realize, God, it was never about a list. It was never, go ahead.
Isn't that what happened before Jesus came?
So look at the law.
Didn't the law
look what they did, right? Look at the Old Testament and how it turned into all these perturbations on what should have been a simple discovery, a simple thing of love. And Jesus comes back and says, wow, you've really mismanaged all this list stuff. It's never been about list. And what does he say? It really reduces to one thing. What is it?
Love.
He says, all those things you talked about, the greatest commandment
is
love, right? That's the single list, right? And I was telling this guy, I said, you know, if we were to sit here and talk about identity, who you are. Well, who does God say you are? We would have fun building that, right? Because it would talk about your authority. It would be a list that would talk about your courage, your passion. It would talk about being a son or a daughter. It would talk about creativity. It would talk about your role as a priest, because he calls you to this activity of ministering to the people. It would talk about your royalty, right? So there's this, here's how God sees you, right? And then there's, and really what the gospel is all about is helping, this is God's opinion of you. The Bible, what Jesus came to show us was you don't share his opinion of yourself. You don't believe what he believes about you. You don't believe you have that authority.
Right.
You don't believe you're royalty. You don't believe you have this priestly assignment. Mm-hmm. You don't believe that you're righteous, like he calls, that's what he says, right? And the list goes on, right? So I told this man, I said, you know, when it gets right down to it, the issue of when he said, you know, we need to pray against because this is sin. I said, well, if I think the core root is who am I? This is what God says I am. This is who Father says I am. And this is the other voice over here, right? So really, I said, I think it's the easiest definition of talking about our faith is being who he says you are. Faith is the activity of who does Father say you are? Faith is walk in that. Faith is not about go to church. Faith is not about read your Bible. Faith is not about did you pay your tithe today. Faith, when the Bible talks about faith and securing your faith, anchoring your faith, it's here's who Father says you are. Here's that list about who you are. Faith says, go be that. Go live on that. Go hang your hat on that. This is the activity of your life. This right here, a son, a royalty, priestly, walking in all authority, right? So sin is the activity of not that. In other words, I don't know who I am. I don't see myself as royalty. I don't see myself as his son. I'm struggling to answer that question of, who am I? Why am I here? Am I really worthy? Does he really love me? And we sit here and we've convinced ourselves that I can't possibly be good enough. He can't love me. Look at all I've done. We've got all these things that, boom. I mean, they're just beating against us and fighting us. So if somebody asks you your definition of sin, it's like, well, God's called me to this. That's my faith. And when I don't act that way, I'm sinning. Mm-hmm. Look, did you just notice I didn't have any list there? Mm-hmm. I didn't say, oh, because here's the problem with lists. And I grew up in a church where you didn't drink. Or it was sin. But wait a second. Their church did drink. Or in our church, women could wear pants. But in their church, it's dresses. And it's dresses up to here, right? So these are believers, right? And so we built list that says, here's how you qualify me. And you realize that's how they fall apart. So faith is that activity of walking in the identity that Father has, that what he says about you. That's what our faith is. In sin, it's when I'm not doing that. Okay? Now, here's why this is important. Because the Bible talks about really two ways to live. How am I going to respond to a cancer report like Adolf Hoth? How am I going to respond to a lost job? How am I going to respond to a chimney that toppled down and now I've got to go get resources to have it repaired, right? There's a response, right? The Bible says there are only two responses. There are two kinds of life, two ways to live. One of those ways to live is in faith, according to our identity, and the other one is outside of that, okay? The Bible gives us words to it. It says this activity here, living, is called in the spirit. And this one over here is in the flesh, right? In the flesh, right? It's fun sometimes. Sometimes we get lost in the language of Scripture and we realize what's happening here. But there are really only two ways to live. One is faith and one is sin. Right? And we've corrupted that story so much that because we're looking for which one am I on? And we're so wanting to be measured, and I'm okay on this list, I can still drink, right? And we totally missed this. Always been about identity, right? Romans 8:9, it says this. It says, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, right? Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And we go, okay, that sounds like I'm getting weighed and measured here.
Where is it?
This is Romans 8:9. It says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And sometimes if we're list keepers, mm-hmm. we look at that verse and go, gotcha.
Right.
Right. And Paul, the whole book of Romans, because there's lists in there. It says, you know, about sexual adulterers and immorality, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we go, there's a list right there. Well, no, there's activity, there's fruit, there's things that are being observed in your life that's clarifying, hey, you're not walking in the spirit, you're walking in the flesh, right? So it's not brought out to judge you, it's printed, Paul's trying to say, look, you've missed it, you're not operating out of faith, right? So I want to read Romans 8, 9 to you out of the Mirror Bible. He says this, you're not ruled by flesh consciousness, but by a spirit consciousness. God's spirit is at home in you. And anyone who does not see himself fully clothed and identified in the spirit of Christ cannot be himself.
It's so good.
But it is, he says, here's who you are. This is your DNA. This is how you were created to live. This is how you're created to respond to life, right? And you're being challenged in that because you're insecure about your identity. And when you're insecure about your identity, you can't be who you were created to be because you're constantly, you know, flipping all over the place. There's a word there that talks about, you know, having that spirit in you. It's like this confidence of this is who I am. I know who I am. You know that verse in James where he says, you're like a man who's standing in the mirror, he sees himself, but then when you stand away, and you look away, you don't remember who you are.
Right.
Right? What James is saying is what Romans is telling us, is there's a confidence about who I am, that's where your courage comes from, that walking in your assignment, this is where your faith lives, this is what kingdom looks like, but because of that insecurity, when you step away from maybe each other, or you know, I get to that opportunity at that business yesterday, and I start to question, what should I do? What am I doing? I'm like that man in the mirror who's like, I'm struggling about that identity thing. I needed somebody else like Darla to just bring a little bit of courage to me. It's like, okay, we're both doing the same thing, so we walk this way together, right? Paul also tells these Romans, in Romans 1:23, he says it this way. He says, you know what? Because you've lost sight of God, because you're waffling in that security of knowing who you are, he says, you because of that, you've lost sight of who you really are. Romans 1:23. He says, in your calculation, the image and likeness of God became reduced to these other corrupted patterns. It was distorted. So it basically says, because you stepped away from the mirror, you didn't know who you were, you let other voices, mm-hmm. other opinions talk to you mm-hmm. about who you are, right? And it's in that confusion we kind of get lost, right? So the Bible says you have two ways of responding to life. Walk in the spirit, walk in the flesh. This one's called faith. This one here is called sin, right? You go, and in case you're wondering, by the way, believers don't have a lock on this because the Bible is pretty clear that there are plenty of believers who are not operating in faith, that are still choosing the path. In fact, you go study Galatians, that's what he came to talk to him about. He comes to all the Galatian church, he says, well, what happened? I was with you, and your faith was strong. You were encouraged. You knew who you were. In fact, he says, you would have kind of done anything. He's recognizing these are powerful people that have, I don't know, I can envision them just storming the streets and doing wonders in Jesus' name. Then he comes back and says, what happened? In Galatians 4, there's that verse, you remember, where he talks about Abba Father? And he says, you have a choice. What you've done is you went back and picked up the list to measure yourself, the law. You went back and said, the church has their list of how I need to act. And I realized, he says, you went back to that old list, to try to perform against it, and you're trying to straddle both of them. And Paul has this plea to them. He says, oh, if Holy Spirit would just show you and release to you how loved you are. Hmm. And he calls it, he says that you would come to this revelation of seeing him as Papa, Abba. You'd see Father is so in love with you. And Paul says, so I plead with you, don't choose the list. He says, walk in love. And it says, if you're struggling with what to do here, Paul says, just follow me again. Because and what Paul's doing is he says, like, I'm gonna mentor you in how to live in faith. Really, it's our challenge today, right? It's like, I've got two ways to live, two ways to walk, in the flesh or in the spirit, right? And so we're reminding ourselves, how do I live this way? And I would like to say to you that walking in the flesh is abnormal for you.
Mm.
It's not how you were created. Inside, the Bible makes it very clear, it's your very DNA, you're created in his image. So you were created,
right.
You were created with that royalty gene. You were created with that priestly gene. You're created with that power inside of you. Really what's happening is you don't see yourself that way. Jesus comes to reveal that how much he loves you. It's almost like he's waking up your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is who I am. But that's how you were created. It's in you, right? Holy Spirit's just waking you up, right? So it's abnormal for you to think anything other than really supernatural. It's abnormal for you to think anything other than that powerful faith list, okay? It's like that, think of like, so you wake up and it's like, oh, this is who I am. Think of it like a butterfly. He's a caterpillar and he comes up, now he's a butterfly. The butterfly isn't spending much time thinking about caterpillar days, right? But that's what we do. We end
right.
up
right.
we end up getting, it's like, wow, I've got wings, I can fly, I can do, I've got this beauty about me. And we're sitting here like this caterpillar or like the butterfly thinking about, oh, am I really a butterfly? Right? So we're challenging ourselves. So just some examples. Because I thought, okay, because the Bible, most of the New Testament, most of it, is about trying to calibrate you with this life of faith, which we know is about this activity
right.
of who I am,
right.
right? The activity of your identity. The New Testament is just calling you to that, right? And so, and Jesus came to show you examples of what it looks like. Not just Jesus, by the way. Everything he did was in the Spirit. Scripture makes that clear. But there were many people that showed us examples of what it looks like to walk in the Spirit, to live this way. And I just wanted to acknowledge a couple of them, because some of them are kind of fun. Because John 10:10 says this, it's like, I've called you to life, and life more abundant, really. It says, like, so there's this more for us, this abundant life. And what all the scripture is showing us is that the man who walks in faith, when that's my identity, that's what it looks like. That's what abundant life looks like, right? Or what eternal life looks like. Eternal life and abundant life, they're the same thing. That's good. It's a now moment, okay? So John 10 says they have this abundant life. So what does abundant life look like? And so scripture shows us lots of examples. So let me just, a couple of them. Who knows, you know the story of Simeon? Simeon. It's one of my favorite pictures I've seen. You ever see the picture of the priest Simeon holding baby Jesus? And so scripture made it clear that it says actually it was hundreds of years that the prophets were like yearning to see the Messiah, right? And where's my iPad? I've got verses on it. I'll do it in here. No, my brown one. I don't know where. Here, I'll do it. I know where it's at. It's in Luke 2. There's a Luke 2:25 says this. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was just and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting for, we've been told he was going to come. And it says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Other translation says he was in the Spirit, right? So here, what do we know about that? Walking Spirit. He's operating in his identity, right? This is what faith looks like. And it says, because it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ.
Wow.
And so he came by the Spirit into the temple, right? I would tell you this. When you live walking in the Spirit, when you live by faith, you will always be at the right place, at the right time.
So good.
How many times can you, when you think back of some testimonies in your life, and you go, wow, God, I can't believe that I was there, and I met so-and-so, and he opened this door and connected me with this. You've got stories like that. I do. And you're like, they're wonderful.
Wow.
They're masterful. We weren't, by the way, going to this business until we were driving down the street and said, hey, let's run in there.
Yeah.
It was a moment. We had not planned it. It wasn't on our agenda. And then we meet up with this man and it creates a moment. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know in the future what happens here, but if you walk in the Spirit, you will be at the right place at the right time.
Right.
Right. I liked how the Bible talks about Jesus living free. It says, there's a verse in John, I'll go find it, it's early parts of John where it talks, it equates him to the wind, right? To the wind. And one of the things that I love about Jesus was, your opinion doesn't matter too much to him, right? So the church said, don't go hang out with the prostitutes. And he's like, rolls his eyes. Told him, don't talk to the tax collectors. And there's a list of people that aren't worthy of your time. And if you hang out with those people, then you're right, not a you. And the politicians were no different, by the way. Right? So Jesus is like, I'm not going to be controlled by your list.
Right.
I'm not going to be controlled by your opinions. Your value of me, your measure of me, your definition of me. It's like I'm not looking to you to secure my identity.
Right.
So if faith says, I know who I am, it's like faith says, I'm confident of who I am. I'm not looking to you for validation. That's why I say, like, rooted in love, you're powerful. Because I'm not looking to you to confirm me, right? So one of the greatest things I love about Jesus is because of him walking in the Spirit, he's not controlled by the politicians, not controlled by the religious leaders. He's not going to be managed by friends and family. Because we know he's going to be at the right place at the right time, he's not intimidated by whoever you are or whatever your condition is, right? Or whoever who says you're naughty or nice. None of that controls him. In fact, Satan tries to get in on this, right? When in the wilderness, he tries to manage him. If you do this, then this, and he tries to like dictate to him. He's like, look, I don't live by your rules, right? So I'm not looking to you to affirm me. In fact, he doesn't live through rules of storms because we know that doesn't intimidate him.
Right.
So I just love the fact that as we walk in this, in the Spirit, we're in the right place at the right time. But this other thought about, I'm free to be me in him.
Yeah.
Him and me. Me and him. One of those. Yes. I'm free to be that. And I'm not controlled. Right? I love the fact that Scripture tells us in the Spirit, in faith, Jesus heals some of the sick. All the sick. Jesus healed all the sick. All it says he did that in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
All the sick. Because of his confidence of who he is, that's the security of your faith, he heals all the sick. What do we know about how he dealt with the demonic, or how he dealt with the oppressed. It says he delivered all who were oppressed by the devil. And I could lay out scriptures for you, right? It says this is what he did. So in the spirit, this is what happens, right? We know that because of walk in the spirit, that he has all authority, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he has this unshakable conviction about what is true. And we see him as he's hanging out with, as he's called the disciples to him, and there's I think they're sort of comical as we watch their conviction go, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, right? And Jesus is like, didn't we just have this conversation, right? We saw it after the feeding of the 5,000 when he stirs up their faith, and they had to be wowed. And then the very next scene is when they go into the boat and they start complaining about food. Oh, WD. Right? And Jesus is like, and he cautions him. This is where scripture says he talks about beware of the leaven of the of Herod and the Pharisees, who is what? The religious and political. But he says, look, don't let them shape your view. Don't let them have a voice into who you are. Leaven, right? Because he says, look, it'll get in there, and it's gonna encroach on that, and it's gonna confuse you. It's gonna make it really, really challenging for you to walk in that authority, right? And there's several places in scripture. So Jesus says, look, when you walk in the spirit, I'm not challenged by that. You might confront me, you might even oppress me. Look at Stephen, right? They're gonna kill him. And the Bible talks about this confidence that Stephen had. And responding about who he is and who his God is. It's like, wow, that is awful. I mean, in fact, Stephen has such a confidence that you sit here and go, where did you get those answers? Because he didn't have a prepared speech. He didn't go and study and say, here's my fork. It's like, it's a masterful presentation. I would like to say to you, walking in the spirit, you don't have to worry about your words. If you're coming in faith about
who you are,
a confident, there's a security of your identity in him. He's going to give you the right thing to say. Not only are you at the right place at the right time, you're going to have the right words. Don't worry about polishing him. Don't worry about preaching. Don't worry about your sermon. Don't worry about your points. Right? Just all you're doing is unloading love. All you're doing is just releasing love. How about, here's another one. How about Paul? You know that, so Paul is, remember he was Pharisee. He was trained, indoctrinated. All his teaching was by the Pharisees, right? So the church, the New Testament church, a little nervous of Paul because they're the list keepers. And they're like, no, this guy used to slaughter Christians. He was part of this community that was crushing the Jesus movement. And it was Barnabas who went, because of the Holy Spirit, saw something in Paul.
Mm. Right,
and
right.
And says, no. It's like pulls him out and says, this is who, it's like tells them, accept this one. And the fascinating after story is, look, who wrote most of the New Testament for you to encourage you about who you are was the one that the church said,
Right.
And so Barnabas pulls this guy out. And then, go on to Paul. So the scripture tells us that what he wrote was because the Spirit inspired him. So because Paul, walking in the Spirit, in faith, this is who I am, it says that he says, these were words taught to me by the Holy Spirit.
That's amazing.
These weren't my words. And he said, and actually he tells the Corinthians, he said, in fact, my whole, because of this covenant with the Holy Spirit, all my competence comes from God. Everything he did.
Before Jesus, there was no Holy Spirit.
Right. So,
there was, but,
Right.
But not in their
That's what's so fun when he got right. They didn't know what to do with that.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit's job. That's a good point. Holy Spirit's job right? And it actually tells you, He says he'll convict the world of sin, right? Look up that verse for me while I'm thinking about it. But I want to, because it goes on to, who knows the verse?
Talking about the one he's talking about, will there one will come greater than I?
No, it's in John.
It's in John.
It's in John. Oh, this is going to be good. You'll like this one. Because this is where we miss, this is where if we aren't paying attention to really what's happening in the context of what Scripture's trying to show us. Do you know what's up, Dar?
I'm still looking.
Oh. All right. So you find that for me. Because, this is where we get the basis for our truth. This is where we begin. It's because of the Holy Spirit showing us what to say, how to say it. So this is like our anchor, right? And then the fun part about it, Paul says, everything about his whole life, which he calls a race, was all about this relationship of walking in faith. Walking.
John 16:8.
Okay, John 16:8. Here's what I want you to see. Now that you have this context of what faith is, and what sin is, what walking in the Spirit is, and what walking in the flesh is, listen to what John 16:8 says. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. So, if you've got the wrong glasses on, it looks like, oh, Holy Spirit has a copy of the list, and you're going to stand in front. He's going to go, I'm here to show. Nope, 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 nope. What's he doing? He's showing, Holy Spirit's job is to show you, convict the world of sin. This isn't who you are. This is not your identity. I'm here to show you, this is who you are. Right? This isn't about list management. This isn't about, oh, you cheated. Oh, you were angry. Oh, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. This is not a naughty list. When Holy Spirit comes to convict you of sin, it is the greatest love action on the planet.
Right.
He says, this is not who you are. You're operating outside of your identity.
Mm.
Right? This is the Father running after the Son and the prodigal son.
Yeah.
That's what convicting of sin looks like. Okay? Second thing he says, he's going to convict you of righteousness. You need to shift your thinking about, I'm standing before a judge, convict, and get you thinking, he's changing my mind. He's anchoring this, my thinker. What Romans 12:2 says, to transform mind. Renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Transform it. We're changing our thought. Right? So he's going to say, this isn't who you are. This is who you are, righteousness. Scripture tells us you're right, because of Jesus, you're righteous, right? You're in right standing with the Father. You're not in a place of, okay, I've said the prayer, now I'm in penance, or now I'm in this training territory. No, you're immediately qualified as a son, right? What was the thing I said? Your DNA's there? Your calling is there. Your purpose is there. I don't see it. Right? He reveals that. Oh my gosh, I'm loved. That's how you see me? That's a picture of righteousness. Wrong thinking. Holy Spirit says, I'm going to deal with that wrong thinking. That's not you. This is who you are. And then, now we get to judgment. Who is he judging? Not you. Listen to what Scripture says. He says, and when he has come, Holy Spirit, he will convince the world of sin, that's not who you are, of your righteousness, this is who you are, and of judgment. Because of sin, they don't believe in me. They don't know. They don't know me. They don't know me as Father. And of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you're going to see me no more. So the Holy Spirit, he's here to always put before you, this is how the Father sees you. This is how the Father sees you. This is who you are before the Father. And he says, and of judgment, because the ruler of this world, the one who's confusing you, the one who's distorting the truth, the one who's attacking your identity, because the ruler of this world is judged. It's the Holy Spirit's making it clear. The one who's going to get face planted is the enemy.
Right, right, right.
Because he has distorted the truth about who you are.
That is so good.
Okay? So when the Bible talks about how do you respond to life, right? There is the walking in the flesh, not who you are. And there's walking in the Spirit. This is who you are. And we call this our faith. Paul concludes with this at end of Timothy. And I'll end with this verse, okay? He says, I've fought the good fight. Mm-hmm. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith.
Mm.
Right? He walked in his identity. I've kept the faith. Now there's in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And he ends this verse in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. He says this, the Lord Jesus Christ is in my spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is in my spirit. That's the revelation. That's that thing when we talked about this morning in worship. You know, it's like reminding yourself about the goodness of God. When Jesus, before he goes to the cross, right, and he says, and he's praying to the Father in the upper, and it's like, oh, that they would see that I'm in you and you're in me.
Right, right, right.
Right? And Paul finishes life and says, here, right? It's like, here's what I've concluded. You're in me.
That's amazing.
You're in me. So with that, we just say, wow, God, thanks for waking us up. You're showing us what it looks like to live in faith, to walk in the Spirit, and we just, our confidence stirs, our authority just explodes. God, our intimacy, we connect with you, we get words from you, we get pictures from you. You're showing us assignments and places to be. So God, today, just confirm in us how much you love us. And so I ask for a release of dreams and visions today. Mm-hmm. I pray for just increased passions in these. God, I pray for opportunities this week where Holy Spirit shows up, we're alerted to your presence, and heaven moves. In Jesus' name, amen.